Today's lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so may the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that he would might be saved through him, so that we would be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the people, for God the people. Thank you.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be holy and pleasing to you. That through your word for us this week, we would continue to hear your good news, continue to dive into the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ brought to the world as we continue through this season of Lent. May this be a reflection for our faith. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So I want to begin today. We just heard our gospel passage. But the beginning of the gospel passage, you hear this story about Moses raising up this serpent in the wilderness. And so I want to read that story real quick. It's very brief. It's only a few verses. But we read, this is in Numbers 21. It says, "From Mount Hor, they," that is the Israelites, "set out by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and spoke against Moses." Boy, does that sound familiar. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." "Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live.' So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, the person who would look at the serpent of bronze and live." You know, I think we can see, so this is actually the Old Testament passage in the lectionary for us this morning, and I think there's a reason they chose these two passages, right? I mean, Jesus literally talks about this passage here as he's talking to Nicodemus. Jesus specifically mentions Moses lifting up this serpent in the wilderness. And we see that the purpose behind this imagery, this passage, this metaphor, looking back to this story of the Israelites in the wilderness, becomes so crucial to the teaching point of Jesus. As we look at this passage, we see the way in which Jesus is calling us to focus our attention on him as we seek healing from those things that ail us. And when we look at this passage, when we really dive into it, because friends, this verse 14, it kind of falls like right in the middle of like a great long discourse that Jesus has with a man named Nicodemus. And if we back up, we learn a little bit. And when I say a little bit, I mean we learn like two things about Nicodemus. And neither one of them are completely and totally helpful to help us understand who he is exactly. In fact, Nicodemus is only mentioned three times in the entirety of Scripture, and yet he plays this pivotal role in, I think as many of us look at it, one of the most well-known Bible verses in the world. So what do we learn? Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a leader of the Jewish people. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And if we back up into verse 2, we see that Nicodemus is asking Jesus, kind of, sort of, what Jesus' relation to God is. How can you perform all of these signs without God? And from this, we get this, we get the also well-known and understood this new birth narrative, this you must be born from above narrative. And Jesus really begins to lay out, as we look here and as we continue to go forward, Jesus' lesson not just for Nicodemus, but for each and every one of us as well. Right, the lesson to Nicodemus about believing in the witness Jesus offers for God through his life and ministry. And we continue to see this playing off of that we have been exploring in these last 3 weeks, because at the heart of the good news is our ability to be able to differentiate the things of humanity, the earthly things, and the heavenly things, now manifesting itself in this nature of faith. Now, I like to define terms here. And so when we look in Scripture, when we look specifically in Hebrews 11, we read in Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. However, when we begin to look and dive into this passage, we see that sight, looking upon something, becomes a pivotal part of our faith. But the way that Jesus is talking about sight is not necessarily in the physical sense, but being able to spiritually look upon the face of Jesus. And so what does Jesus do to introduce this idea of faith, to introduce what this relationship to God looks like? Jesus plays off the story with Moses and the wilderness, and the Israelites in the wilderness, because the story of faith will be passed down through the generations. And it is the trust and hope from God's eternal promise that leads the Israelites to come and to look upon the snake so that they can be healed. And when we look at this story, we begin to see how faith itself begins to play its role. Right? We see the story of faith played out with the Israelites, where the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness become so ungrateful for their freedom that they would rather go back to Egypt, to where their comfort was. And so what is the response to this but the serpents coming into the encampment and biting the Israelites, infecting them, poisoning them, and ultimately leading to their physical death. And so then we hear the Israelites relent to Moses to ask for forgiveness. And when Moses does that, God again gives very specific instructions of what he is to do to create this serpent. And Moses ends up creating it out of bronze and lifting it up so that when the Israelites are bitten in the future, what are they supposed to do? Look upon the serpent. For us looking at this, this becomes somewhat of a troubling message because it does not take away the pain. Israelites are still getting bitten, but God provides an opportunity for healing. And so when we fast forward here to John and we begin to look at this interaction between Nicodemus and Jesus, it is no coincidence then that Jesus uses this metaphor, uses this story from the deep tradition of faith. This would have been, all Jesus would have had to do to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is a well-learned person. He's a Pharisee. He is a leader in the Jewish church. He knows his Torah. He knows his scriptures. All he would have had to say is literally this line of, just like Moses lifted up this serpent in the wilderness, so too is the Son of Man going to get lifted up. And it would have instantly put off a light bulb in Nicodemus' head. And it would have immediately gotten him to think about what the role of the Son of Man on earth truly is. Right, in John, we are given this similar yet really different version of the story of the serpent in the wilderness. Right? Jesus becomes, in our understanding in this story, this bronze serpent. Created, yes, to look like, to interact like this thing that is perceived as dark and evil, and yet it is something wholly different than in the vain of being human, yet Jesus has this ultimate divine quality of salvation. And boy howdy, does it manifest itself as we begin to look at what is deep in this text. And the salvation, the healing that Jesus offers to us. And we look at this passage and we see what the good news really is. Right? 52 words. Now you may be looking, if you had your Bibles open, you're like, John 3:16, that does not have 52 words in it. Well, friends, from your pastor, I believe that John 3:16 and 17 should be connected. My opinion. And so yes, in 3:16 and 17, in the New Revised Standard Version, there are 52 words. Unfortunately, did not count in the other ones, so I apologize. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Right? God sends into the world his son so that we can truly know and understand what healing looks like, what it means to experience salvation, what it means to experience healing from what ails us. And all we are looked to do is to look upon the face of Christ to see and to believe. That is the role of our faith. And when we believe in God, God promises transformation of the heart, of the mind, and of the soul. And God offers new life. We begin a new era in our lives. Right? The verses surrounding this that were read this morning invite us to consider everything in these two verses. Why? Because within these two verses, we see a summation of what it means to believe in God. The work that Jesus does here on earth. Jesus comes down amidst all of the anger, amidst all of the violence, amidst all of the evil and darkness in the world, and Christ becomes the light for us. Christ becomes the thing that we look upon so that we can truly know that God loves us. And Jesus is teaching Nicodemus to consider the implications beyond just him sitting there. And Jesus encourages Nicodemus to look beyond this small understanding that he may have and calls Nicodemus to say, look beyond this. Look at everything that God is doing. We are saved through Christ. Jesus brightens the world. It shines upon that which may otherwise not see, or in those places where we may think that there is darkness. Why are we saved through Christ? That's the question. I mean, God could have very easily just offered us love and salvation. I mean, it's well within God and who God is to just say, I don't care what you have done. You are saved. You are loved. And know that there is that aspect of God that surrounds us each and every day. God loves us. God blesses us. God looks after us. Friends, whether we believe in God or not, and I know that may be troubling for us to hear. Sometimes we want to think we're special, but God loves us. The sheer fact of Jesus coming down to earth offers salvation to everyone. Because Jesus bears the world's evil so that we may have revealed to us the nature of God. Just like that golden serpent in the wilderness will come to bear all of the poisons in people's bodies, so too does Christ come and bear the anger and the hatred and the evil of God's good news so that we can not only see the love that God has for us, but that we can experience it. No longer do we view God through our lens, through the lens of a prophet. No longer do we have to have mediated prayer between anybody. Now we meet God face to face. Christ has been raised up for us, and we can see. And it takes away the burden of death and leads us to greater light. I mean, it's not just good news, friends. This is This is great news. This is like the best news. But it comes with us acknowledging the work that God has done. It comes with us acknowledging God's love. It comes with us acknowledging all of the things around us, to acknowledge the serpents that exist in our lives, the poison that has infected us. It calls us to acknowledge the evil and the hate that exists in our world, right? Jesus has come to save the world. And we read in those final two verses that Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says, "For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." Jesus comes to save the world. Jesus has come into our lives. And now we are the ones who have this good news, who take this good news, the word of God, who take Jesus Christ into the world. The problem is we lose sight of verses 16 and 17 there. We think we know verses 16. We think we could probably say that thing blindfolded. We could be spun around 30 times, and we can repeat the words of John 3:16 no matter what. But friends, I think we forget the meaning of John 3:16. We forget what John 3:16 means. We forget John 3:17. We forget the meaning behind it, and we think to ourselves what we want it to mean. That we have so isolated the story and nature of Jesus that we become the only ones who are allowed to look upon the cross. That we are the only ones who are allowed to experience the love and grace that God has. That we are the only ones, just because we have accepted God, because we have acknowledged what God has done. Friends, we do not allow God to be seen by others sometimes. And in fact, sometimes even restrict. We lose the meaning of John 3:16 and 17. Because we've become the condemners. We've become the judgers. We have allowed our churches to block the face of Christ. We miss that, for God so loved the world. God did not just love his people. God did not just love his prophets. God did not just love anybody who came into the temple. God loved the world so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. We have an opportunity to share the face, the image, the love, the grace, everything that Christ means. We have an opportunity to share the healing presence of God with the world. I'm not saying that there is no idea of justification in faith. Don't hear that. There is a time where we come to acknowledge God's grace, God's presence, God's working in our lives. And that is the point in time in which we begin to align our lives with God's promise and purpose. But friends, sometimes the church gets in the way of people even doing that. The good news is not meant for a certain group of people. It's not meant for one or two folks. It's not only meant for your pastor. It's not only meant for people who are members of this congregation. It is meant for everybody. And as Jesus is sitting here talking to Nicodemus, you will see, if you read this entire section from verse 1 to 21, you will see a decided shift in this text. And you will be able to pick out right away the point in which Jesus stops talking directly to Nicodemus and which Jesus starts talking directly through Nicodemus to everybody around the world. Because no longer is he just talking to Nicodemus, because this is a message that is meant for everyone. We must show them Christ. Because it is through Christ that that healing takes place, that that healing happens. The hurt and pain, the evil, the violence, the hatred, all that exists in the world. I truly believe, and I know this is bold, but I truly believe that if the love of God was truly on display, that all of this would be gone. That all of it. that we'd be able to overcome our differences, that we'd be able to look at one another in the name of God's love. When we see the chance for people to know God, to believe in God's love, and to live in continuity with it. And we look at how Christ calls us to be more than just people, to be more than just a narrow-sided understanding of faith. And I love this quote from Mary McLeod Bethune, who is writing about John 3:16, and she talks about her conversion and what this message meant for her. And she says, "With these words, the scales fell from my eyes and the light came flooding in. My sense of inferiority, my fear of handicaps dropped away. Whosoever, it said, no Jew nor Gentile, no Catholic nor Protestant, no black nor white, just whosoever. It means that I, a humble Negro girl, had just as much a chance as anybody in the sight and love of God. These words stored up a battery of faith and confidence and determination in my heart, which has not failed me." Friends, I truly believe that that good news is only good news if it's good news for the world. And this is what Christ comes to teach us. Uh-huh. Right, if we think of Lent as a mountain, we have to go up and then we have to come back down. Friends, we are at the top of the mountain. We have come to the top and we have seen the good news. We have seen the message of Christ. We are about to journey back down to the bottom of the mountain. And friends, on Good Friday, we will not only be at the bottom, we will be below the bottom. And you know why this is what great imagery for Lent? Because when we get to that bottom, we need to not forget to look back up. To look back up. To see Christ. And to know the message that Christ left for us. Right? We have to rest on the assurances of this message. Have to be able to let folks see Christ. I mean, these 52 words, I mean, they transformed the world. You got to think, like, the first time someone read John 3, that professor of John's who was editing his work for his doctoral thesis, and the question is will we see them in the light or in the dark? You know, the funny thing about darkness is sometimes we can adapt to the darkness. Sometimes when we adapt to the darkness, we think it might be light. But here's the thing, there's only one true light. There's only one true way to see the good news. There's only one true way to experience healing from all the pain and suffering that we experience in this world. And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.